This is Perry Marshall. I am here with Ben Morris and also with Matt Galogli. And Ben is the founder of Crystalytics. And we are going to talk about why Obama won. And there's a whole layer to how this works that most citizens have no idea. The closest to any idea that people have is they know that there are swing states. Okay. But that's like, 5% of the story. There's way more than that. There's way more going on than just an electoral college. And Ben has been up to his eyeballs in this kind of stuff for years. I actually flew to Austin, Texas, and met with them for a day about 2 or 3 years ago just to have a little geek fest. And I was not disappointed. Ben's a roundtable member. His business has grown tremendously. He's in huge demand because he's got the Midas touch. He is the goose that lays the golden eggs for a lot of more sophisticated marketers. And what we're going to talk about, it applies to everybody because everybody who's listening to this interview is trying to win an election every single day against your competitors. So, Ben, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Perry. And I'm so glad we could do this because it is timely. And essentially, you can look at it and take a step back and say that candidates are the ultimate product that we, in terms of marketing. And also, with all the money that's there, you're also dealing with some of the best practices in terms of market segmentation. And what I want to show you is to take a look, and just as background, those who haven't worked with us before, we have the entire 235 million U.S. residential file of postal records with over 1,000 demographics and psychographic points of enhancement on our file for research purposes. And as a result, we can do a lot of the same analytics that the campaigns are using, and we can kind of show you today what they might have looked at. And so this is a map right here of counties in the U.S. based on the 2000 election. And this is the actual blue would have been Gore, red would have been Bush. And you can see a couple of things to call your attention to is look how red the state of Colorado is, with a few exceptions. Look at the fact that all of Southern California, San Diego County especially, is red. And notice that only one county here in Texas, and it's a small county, all the major metro counties are red. That would be Dallas County, where Dallas is, Travis County with Austin, Bayer County, San Antonio, and Harris County, Houston. So you can see very red. Now, you can argue that's because you had a Texas candidate. Now, if you go to 2000...
Well, Ben, just for dyslexic people, could you just remind us what red and blue mean?
Red is Republican, blue is Democrat. And, I mean, that's sort of become the standard way we define the counties with the red and the blue states. But this is 2008, and here on a county map of results for 2008, notice that you're starting to see that the metro counties, and you're going to see this as a theme as we continue today, Perry, the metro counties like Dallas County up there in the top of the state that's blue, Travis County here in Austin, Harris County in Houston, Bayer County, San Antonio, but also look at all of that southern part of San Diego area also turned blue, more blue in the state of Colorado. So you're starting to see the beginnings of what continued in this election. And now this is the map for the current election. And this once again, you're seeing more and more of the blue in certain areas that are the, quote, battleground states. Now, one of the things that we were trying to figure out is how can we look at the differences psychographically between the red Republican Romney-leaning areas of the country and the blue Obama-leaning regions of the country. And here's what we did from a methodology standpoint. We were able... and it was just we were talking about having this on Friday. Just on Saturday afternoon, there was a online publication of the county by county breakdowns of the Tuesday election. And what we were looking for to do our analytics was to take a look at counties that could be proxies for Obama or for Romney, because we can't obviously look at individuals like we normally would if we were looking at a database analysis and say, here's the people who voted for Romney at the individual level, here are the people that voted for Obama. So what we have to do is come up with something that can be representative of that market. And what we chose, originally we were thinking in terms of your 80-20, but when we got to 80-20, that would be counties that voted 80% or higher for Obama or 80% or higher for Romney, we started having some problems in that there were too few counties, and most of the counties that were 80-20 Romney were very small and rural. Most of the counties that were 80-20 Obama were very deeply urban and large. So we pulled it back to 65-35, and even so, you can see a first big call out here. Romney 65-35, counties that Romney won by a 2-to-1 margin. 1,202 of our 3,143 U.S. counties. So roughly about a little over a third, 38,697,859 individuals in those counties that voted 2-to-1 for Romney. Obama, notice the count is higher, 47,592, 47,592,000, but only 162 counties produced that much more. And then the last group we looked at is what we call our battleground counties. And these are just the 117 counties where it was split. No less than 49% of the vote went for one candidate, and no more than 51% for the other. So this is truly even. And what we found is we didn't want to just look at the demographics. And one of the things, if you've watched newscast in terms of election polls, they talk about, well, here's what young people did. Here's what people who are Hispanic, African American, people who are married with double income, no kid, double income with children. Those are all demographics. What we look at is psychographics. And the way I would describe the differences between demographics and psychographics are that demographics are about things that you might see on a census report: age, the length of time you drive to work every day, the language you speak. When you look at psychographics, you look at the fact that there may be two people that are literally Gen Xers, have the same income, they live in the same block, they have the same ethnicity, they speak the same language, and yet because of the life stage they're in and their interest levels, they spend their discretionary income and they spend their time on completely different things, and different things are important to them. And you'll find that a lot of those demographic barriers come down when you're looking at psychographics. And the way I also describe it is if you put people with the same psychographic from all over the country, including these battleground states and these areas that are deciding the election, and you put somebody from the same cluster in a room from all over the country with other people that had their cluster, they would share more with each other than they likely would with their next door neighbor. And one of the things that that brings up is when you have these people that are demographically equal, but you can identify that psychographic edge, then you start to be able to do the media and messaging. And as an example, you would talk to our guy here in the truck with the kids very differently than you would talk to the urban couple here that is in the center with the skyscrapers in the background, entirely differently than you would talk to the young group here at the bottom shooting pool. So once you know what the segment is, you can craft your message. And that's what really made the difference in terms of especially the email marketing campaign of the Obama campaign. And as an example, if you looked at the state of Colorado, which was a very significant swing state, you had that campaign every night running computer models on the psychographics and being able to come back and say, well, we know that based on today's news stories that maybe the group here that's with the driving with the skyscrapers in the background, maybe what's important to them today is they're responding negatively to this news story. On the other hand, the guy down here in his green shorts with the transistor radio, here's what his concern is today, and they might get it. They would get a completely different message because that campaign had the ability to be able to segment. And one of the things I want to do now is I'm going to switch from my PowerPoint to an Excel file, and I'm going to show you a couple of things, if I may, on the actual counties themselves, these are the counties ranked in order of strength for Romney. You can see that the county, all the way up to 95.9% of King County, Texas, gave Obama 5 votes and Romney 139. And it goes all the way down from there. On the top.
By the way, I don't know if this creeps anybody else out, but this is kind of scary that they know all this data, but it's actually really kind of cool. So anyway,
it is. It is, Matt, and the thing that I would say is that keep in mind all of this is being done only at the county level, and counties are very, very large units compared to zip codes or block groups or blocks or households. But I also found this interesting as an anomaly. Shannon, South Dakota, 2,922 votes for Obama, 188 for Romney, one of the few counties in South Dakota that easily were won by Obama. And you can go down from here and you can see very large counties here in terms of one side of the district or Bronx County or Philadelphia County. And you see what I'm talking about those large counties and the margins in those areas. If you look at something like San Francisco County, 83% for Obama. Philadelphia County, 85%. The city of Baltimore, 87%. Bronx County, 91%. So that sort of sets the tone for those type of counties. And then the last group were the dead heat counties. And you can see there how close it was regardless. And you had all of these counties that were in that dead heat. Every one of them was in, and you can probably recognize some counties that you see not only in battleground states, but also in states that weren't necessarily in play. As you go down in every one of them, including very large counties like this one here in Minnesota with 185,714 total votes cast, 4,750, or Brown County, Wisconsin, 4,850. So what we did once we got that together is we looked at the counties that were what we considered the strong Obama counties, and we looked at the segments that were present within those counties from a psychographic standpoint, and we looked at their presence within the Romney and within the battlegrounds. And what's really striking here is if you notice the top three clusters that had the highest concentration relative to the U.S. for the Obama campaign were all very urban clusters, which you would expect because of that strength in the larger cities. And if you notice here, in the areas that were the strongest for Romney, those clusters literally did not exist. Psychographic clusters did not exist. So you almost have to discount these top groups as saying these folks were in the geographic areas where Obama did very well. They weren't even represented in areas that were that Romney did well. When we start looking beyond that and we say, okay, which areas are really strong for the beyond that, then we start looking at, for example, here's a group of people that are extremely affluent, but they have a tendency toward being in the elite suburbs. 146 index in the territories that Obama won, and a 33 index in the territories that Romney won, but a 60 index in the battleground territories. Now, what does an index mean? Well, 146 index means that that particular group is 46% more likely to exist in those strong Obama counties than they are to exist within the general market. A 33 index means that they're essentially 67% less likely to exist in the Romney counties, and a 60 index means they're 40% less likely to exist in, quote, the battleground. Now, if we go over and look at all of these clusters, what we did was we determined 9 market segments psychographically that were equally split between the Obama and the Romney areas. So we were looking at those clusters that were represented virtually equally within the Obama and the Romney areas, and we compared them to the battleground areas. And I think what you're going to see is not only we're going to go through how we would message to each one of those groups, but also you can see the map of how each one of those groups is strong in different parts of the country, and you can start to see that the battleground states are actually battleground because they have a high percentage of these segments that were found in both strength for Romney and strength for Obama.
So my favorite is my favorite is cartoons and carpools. I like that. I can probably be not too different from one of those. Also, I am in a, you know, in Obama County. I'm in the county Obama is from, you know, so, you know, I'm not even sure some people even needed to vote because, you know, it probably didn't matter, but, you know, you're right here. There's these areas, that swing the difference. Now, for people who are listening, one of the difference, there's a distinction between what Obama or Romney has to do and what you have to do, where in election where it's this guy or that guy and you got to swing the whole country one way or the other, these guys in the middle are crucial. However, when you're trying to sell something, the place you're going to most easily sell it is the ones that are already strongly tilted in your favor. And these ones would be the ones where you're going to be spending more money to acquire a customer in order to have bigger market share and maybe get customers that competitors aren't willing to go after because they're too expensive to pursue. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And if you look at the different segments, let's go back over and look at an index and also say, what does that mean? Well, if I've got a 348 index for a particular product I'm selling, that means that that particular group is giving me 3.48 times more revenue per person than they are represented within the market. So you can almost look at this index. If you were to look, if Obama were your product and Romney were a competitor's product or vice versa, if I'm looking at this product, well, then the index is the amount of effort that I should be willing to spend to acquire that customer. This particular group, clusters 29, has apparently a very strong affinity, in this case for Obama. If you had a 348 index in your business, then you could probably afford, through a large group of people, almost 3.5 times as much money to spend on marketing to acquire that customer than you could somebody at the market. On the other hand, if you had a customer that you had a 33 index on, you would take them if they walked in the door, but the amount of money that you should spend to acquire them is literally a third of what you would spend on average. So right there, that's more than a tenfold variance in terms of how much money you as a marketer should spend to acquire a customer. And the higher the index, the less hard you have to work, the more profitable the person's going to be, and the more you can spend to acquire them. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, and just so everybody understands, Ben's in the business of looking at customer databases and looking at all this stuff and saying, okay, where are you likely to get more customers? Or if you're about to send 100,000 pieces of mail or even 10,000 pieces of mail and spend a bunch of money, can we get rid of 6,000 of these people because we know they're almost probably never going to buy from you, and cut the cost of your mailing by 60% and increase the return on investment, you know, by a large amount? That's what you do, right, Ben?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we can sometimes see is a lot of times people will go to a response list, and whether they're selling nutritional supplements or they're selling information products online or whatever, the best buyer is someone who's already bought in your space. Well, what we can do beyond that is you may have somebody who has bought in your niche. All you know about these people are that they've bought something in the same niche that you're selling. Well, what we go in and we find is just like there's a variance in terms of who voted for which candidate by the geography, by the segmentation, you can find that same variance on a buyer's file. It's very dramatic. For example, we just did an analysis for a client who had one who took a buyer's file, and they found that certain people on that file, they could afford to spend, their goal was a $300 cost of acquisition. They found that on that file, they could afford to spend $33 a head on these hyper-responsive customers because they had, check this out, an 11% response rate. So if you're going to get an 11% response rate and your goal is $300 a customer, then all things being equal, you can afford to spend $33. They also found people on that same file we did that weren't even worth 39 cents. So literally you couldn't even put a first class stamp and send them a piece of mail because over a large group they weren't worth it. So this can have very powerful implications in terms of improving the efficiency of direct mail, also in terms of improving the efficiency of email marketing and messaging. And that was what I wanted to, going back to kind of the election and how it really ties back to how we do this every day from a marketing standpoint, looking at those, quote, battleground clusters, then the question becomes, what do they look like? Well, this is one of the battleground clusters. It is a Gen Y group, and it's called early parents. Now, keep in mind that the hottest areas, these are DMAs, dominant market areas, think TV markets. So they are looking up here. Look at all of that orange for this cluster in the panhandle of Florida. Look at all of the yellow, which is also 20% to 50% more concentrated within Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Right there, this particular cluster is highly concentrated within key battleground states that winning made all of the difference for the Obama campaign. You even see some strength in Virginia there. And remember, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia, and Florida had gone the other way, or even a portion of those, you would have had a different outcome. You can even see a few in Chicago, I think. But again, that yellow and orange for this group of young Gen Ys, and it's not just any Gen Y that was in play. It was specifically early parents in Gen Y. And if you read about early parents, they're lower income, 60th for income out of 70, high school educated, ethnically diverse, rent their homes, residence is short, limited financial resources. Right here in this dossier, if I'm a copywriter for Obama, Romney, any political candidate, or anybody with a product or service, and I know that I need to get these people's attention and I need to win their hearts and minds, this gives me a lot of information. I'm going to send my copywriters out and say, go get a copy of Parenting, Baby Talk, and American Baby, and go out there and see what kind of ads are working in there. Go out and see who's using that publication for an extended period of time. What are the messages that work for this group? I want to know where my cluster 39s are on an email file, and I want to be able to mail them things that are going to be relevant to their lives, and that's exactly what the Obama campaign did very successfully by segmenting their email file.
So, Ben, I want to, this is Matt, I want to ask just kind of a, when we were in Chicago about a month ago at Roundtable, you had made a comment that the Democrats knew this data, the Obama campaign knew this data much better, and they were capitalizing on it much better than the Romney campaign. Do you still hold with that original analysis?
I 100% do. I opted into both campaigns, and I did not see any evidence that the Romney, and this isn't a political statement one way or the other,
right.
I'm saying based on the execution of email marketing and segmentation, the Romney campaign showed no evidence that they were doing anything that where I might have been getting a different email than somebody in a completely different psychographic cluster. And in fact, I didn't get a lot of emails from them. And whereas what you had on the Obama campaign was literally in an area like the Colorado market, you had a team of people that were literally out there doing A/B split testing. Does this particular group respond better with a message from Michelle Obama or Joe Biden or Obama or the campaign manager, and do they respond better to certain messages by certain people delivering them? They were doing split testing to the point of if we were targeting Cluster 21, Gen Ys, once again, with children, and notice that both Battleground Gen Y clusters had children present. And once again, this is a different Gen Y cluster that was in play in the Battleground states. But once again, look at that strength of yellow and orange in Michigan, in Ohio, and in Colorado, and all of those states were crucial swing states. Michigan, even a little bit in Ohio, and then also possibly a little bit in Northern Virginia. But again, messaging, it's a different group of Gen Ys. They're much more affluent, and they're working on high-level degrees, middle-class wages, white-collar professional sales. But child-rearing and parenting is still their focus. You're going to talk to them very differently, even they're the same age and they could be the same ethnicity and they're living in the same areas as we just saw. But you're going to talk to that Gen Y by their segment very differently. And you notice that you're not going to be looking at the same magazines even. There may be one crossover, but it's a different market. And you start breaking down these and you, this is a cluster that's also
Hey, Ben, I just want to interject. So I want to point something out. Now, this is probably new to a lot of people who are, you know, watching this, and that's why we're showing it to you. If anybody's been in the direct marketing business for more than 10 years, they're an idiot if they don't know about this stuff.
Okay? Well, I got to tell you.
And And so I just hang on a second. So Romney's campaign is $1 billion, and they don't apparently don't have anybody with the will to do this. Now, anybody that even studies politics, let alone marketing and demographics, anybody who studied the 2008 election, knows that Obama was doing this last time. Okay,
Yeah.
so like, well, IQ test anybody?
Well, here, Perry, here's what's interesting to me. If you were to eliminate their party and their picture, and if you were to look at the economic results, and if you were to look historically at where we are economically today in the country over the last 4 years, and you compare that historically against any other presidential reelection campaign that had a similar type situation, you would say that the guy on the right, and that is Romney, the challenger, should beat the incumbent like a drum. I mean, because if you look at the real numbers, $5 trillion worth of debt, real unemployment at 16.8%. You know, I mean, and I'm not making a political statement. I am looking at this statistically. There's no way Obama should have won. Okay? And what most people don't realize is that Obama won with the percentage of the popular vote that he got was like 2 million more than Romney. I mean, it was less than 1% more of the national vote that he got than Romney. And it's because of this kind of data. And my
So is
wife,
there
go
a
ahead.
marketing lesson here or what?
Oh yeah, big time. This isn't a political lesson. This isn't like, I can't believe Perry's talking about this. This is a, if you're not paying attention, if you don't look at politics, if you don't look at election campaigns as a direct response marketer, and if you don't just get fascinated and contribute to both sides, you are
So
dead
that
in the
you'll get the
water.
mail.
Yeah, so that you get the mail. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. Go ahead, Ben. I know you're
Well,
jumping at the bit.
one of the things that I would point out is that if you look at, let's just say that the whole election swung on this one Gen X cluster, and so far, if you notice that every single cluster that's been in a battleground area for both candidates has had children present. And so what's interesting here is look at the entire state of Pennsylvania. Look at the segments within the states of Ohio and also Florida. Again, that's the election, even parts of Virginia. That's the election again. And the ability to win with that group, and to speak to what I think the Romney campaign did, was to do a very heavy assault on broadcast television. And that is a very traditional, mainstream, good way of reaching people. But it's still, when you're doing broadcast, that is by definition broadcast. You know, it's the old deal. Nobody got fired in the old days for buying the 10 o'clock news or the front page or the second page of the newspaper. Well, if you look at the distribution of people who watch the 10 o'clock news, you get everybody and you get people across all broad demographics, but you can't speak directly to this one group out of 70 and read this bio and say, these people are dealing with this type of life, and have your copywriter craft a message that uniquely resonates with them that would be ignored or actually not resonate with another particular group, but you know enough about the person you're sending the email to that you know that's what they're going to be interested in. And being able to do that at the direct mail level and at the email level, that makes a huge difference because you're talking to people in a language that they want to be talked to, and you're talking to them about things that are relevant, and you just go through all of these areas, and every one of these battleground clusters had relevance, as you see here, continuing to move to the next one. Every one of them had relevance in one or more of the battleground states in a key way. This group of boomer singles, highly relevant down there in Florida, highly relevant in Pennsylvania, and again, you know, a portion that's relevant in Western Colorado, which is another strong swing state. And if you read this, you're going to talk to them about an entirely different set of values. When they're not playing video games and they have various activities like jet skiing, motorcycling, and they prefer American-made trucks, you're going to talk to them completely differently. And as you move through all of these groups, you see every last one of them look at this particular group of upscale families and look at that strength in Colorado, Michigan, the strength in Northern Virginia, and in Ohio. Once again, that could determine the outcome in a different way if you would just talk to these people in a customized way. You could, and I believe that's what the Romney campaign, the Obama campaign did, because as you continue to move on these bios, you can see how these segments are going to care about different things. They're even going to disagree on priorities for the country. And if you can put the policy of what your candidate believes to the right person, one example that I think shows how very deep it goes is if you look at something like South Florida, where you have not only ethnic diversity, but you have political diversity within the different Spanish-speaking communities, and you have different Latin American countries representative as far as country of origin and level of acculturation and language assimilation. You could literally, using these tools, someone who is making a campaign speech can go from one block group to another within the same zip code, and there is a change in terms of level of acculturation, country of origin, language preference, and values of what are important to that group, and that can be known in advance, and the speech can be customized. And that's when you get down to literally micro-targeting the neighborhood and realizing that a group, a neighborhood that is predominantly Cuban, that speaks English, and is acculturated more toward America, is a very different conversation than a neighborhood very nearby that may be primarily Central American, Spanish-speaking, and acculturated toward the native country.
So are you saying that Romney should have bought Infusionsoft?
Well, I'm saying that any degree of segmentation would have been helpful. And again, you know, we keep coming back to the fact that as you go through these different segments, you can see that every one of them has some relevance, huge relevance here in this group of boomers within the battleground. And what we're reading about them are we've gone from people that are interested in their children to people who are motorcycling to people who are gardening and vegetable growing. And, you know, these people are going to have different interests, but they're also going to have different things that matter to them. And as a result, they're going to care about different things, and you're going to need to talk to them differently. And I think that they did that. And you see with all of these groups that were in play, every one of them is going to have, I mean, we're now into the seniors. We're dealing with folks who shop at Home Depot and Ace Hardware. But every one of these groups, and I'm kind of blowing past them in the interest of time, guys, but you look at all of these groups, and you're seeing every one of them having strength in those battleground states, and it's kind of a cross-corroboration that these clusters were the relevant ones in play because they're prevalent within those battleground states, but they were also present within the areas that were... and this is a perfect example, and I want to use this as an example. You have this group of seniors in areas that Romney did very well in, and you also have them in areas that Obama did well with. And if you take a step back and say the purpose of segmentation is to be able to find people that are similar, and you drop all of the vertical beliefs. A vertical belief is people in Texas are different than people in North Carolina, or it's different in California. And you look at it horizontally and you say, where is this particular group of people strong? In all likelihood, being able to talk to somebody in the panhandle of Florida that is this segment, or in Texas, or in Wisconsin, If you have a message that resonates with them, you can win them in any of those states, because that person behaves so much like their close cluster cousin down in Texas or up in Wisconsin or in Virginia, that if you put them in a focus group, they would share similar values. That is the true power of market segmentation, because you know that those people are going to behave very similarly. You read about what they're like. You realize what are they doing right now in their lives. And look at how far we've come from where we were talking about at the beginning of this. There were 9 segments, and we went from 2 Gen Ys to 1 Gen X battleground. All 3 of them had children. When we got into the boomers, there were 3 boomers. 2 of those 3 boomer segments did not have children, and we had 3 segments that were seniors. Ironically, there were no mature years, people between the ages of 50 and 70, that were high concentration with any of those battleground areas. So you really could see, just taking those 9 segments, that there would be a different message for each one of them. But the horizontal, I call it horizontal marketing, is that someone that's a 49 in Colorado is going to behave the same as a 49 in Wisconsin and a 49 in Florida. And if you can find that message that resonates with that 49, whether you have your own business or whether you're a presidential candidate, you will win with them if you can resonate with them. And by the way, this map here is in 48 hours from the time Perry called me on Friday. This is the map that I developed based on the clustering model for how the election should have gone, all things equal, based on those counties. Now, it's not a perfect model, and it's not the model of the outcome. And I'll tell you what I would observe. This is the demand potential for the red and the blue, the Democrat and the Republican. But that doesn't mean that's the way the election went. For example, in the state of Colorado, much more of Colorado turned blue than red. And the reason that I would argue is that you had people that could have been not only persuadable, but probably psychographically were more persuadable to the Republican message, but they were out the Democratic group in the state, out-marketed for Obama. And so, therefore, some areas that looked like they were strong for, based on the segmentation for Romney, actually went for Obama because of that, exactly what I'm talking about. So this is what, all things being equal, if both sides had been equal in their marketing, this is what it would have looked like. And in this particular situation, without a doubt, it would have been much closer. In fact, it would have a slight edge for Romney. That's, again, you see how it turned out. But those charts are close, but we almost don't want them to be exactly right, because if they were perfectly the same as the outcome here, then it would basically say that you voted your segment and you can't be persuaded by marketing.
It would be, marketing's job is to make the outcome different than the natural forces would predict.
Exactly. And that's,
because otherwise we'd all be starving.
This is what the natural forces predict, but this is not what happened. And so, you know, if you looked at it, there's no surprise, for instance, that Obama won Travis County here in blue, and there's no surprise that Dallas County. So you look at some of these areas, but if you start getting into the areas of if you also, it goes the other way. There were counties that Romney won that arguably Obama could have won, except for the fact that they pulled out of those areas, or they didn't market in those areas with the same degree of intensity, and maybe utilized broadcast television more in a state like Missouri, whereas in a state like Colorado may have used more individual marketing. So we don't know everything, obviously, that they did, but we're trying in this call to take a look at what they might have done. And also, from my standpoint, knowing about email marketing segmentation and knowing about the strength of being able to geo-target areas, this is what I would have done. And what I see, based on everything I got in terms of email, looked like they did almost exactly the same thing as what I'm describing here.
Wow. I mean, that map is fascinating to me. I mean, they just, Obama's campaign just kicked Romney's butt. I mean, when you look at it, when you look at this, the map of the U.S., I mean, it's just fascinating to me. So.
Well, and you know, look at the fact that, you know, one of the things that is interesting here is look at that blue spot in the middle of Kansas right there, rather Missouri. And that blue spot county translated over in, and I think that may be Columbia, I'm not sure. But if you look at that, there's that one area. And you also look at what I find interesting here is you look at something like the area of South Florida, and you see that in this particular example, I believe that one of these counties is Fort Myers and one of them is Naples, and if you're from the area, you probably can tell me which is which. But our model predicted that they would both be red, I believe, and Obama narrowly won. I believe that's Lee County down there in Naples. So there are the fact that the maps look slightly different is a function of the success of the marketing, and you can see Colorado is enormously more red, or rather blue, than it was on the prediction, and that's because I think that that campaign did an excellent job of being able to persuade people. You know, one of the things that this doesn't tell us, guys, is the level of the passion index for the vote. We're assuming somebody who literally got out and knocked on doors for either candidate had the same level of intensity in their support in all these maps as somebody who literally is scratching their head to the last day. I think what we also saw is that if we had measured it on intensity index, it would have been a very different story, and we would see a lot of states like Colorado and Ohio and Florida, where a significant portion of the electorate was not really passionate about either choice, and therefore the decision was made at the last minute, and those little persuadable messages that are written exactly like they were designed with you in mind can really make a difference when you're undecided to the level that it seemed to me that a lot of the electorate was. I mean, I talked to people all over the country, and, you know, there were comments like, you know, I really just couldn't, I mean, I liked them both, or I didn't have a lot of confidence in either one of them, but in the end, I decided I'd vote for one or the other. Very, very soft support, and doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I know Perry had to jump off the line; he's got another call. But I mean, I think to kind of wrap this from a direct response marketing standpoint, whether you're just marketing online or whether you're going out and you're buying lists and you're doing more of the traditional direct response marketing. You know, the lesson in this, and Ben, this is kind of a, you know, if like Perry said at the beginning, if I'm going to go launch a product, I'm going to go after the group that's the laydown, that's the on a 100 index that are a 346, because I know that I'm going to do extremely well. But the election in your business is a daily election. Every single day, your client, your customer votes with their credit card. And the election is really won in these tight demographic groups, these psychographic groups, because that's really where a really nice big chunk of income for your business can come across. Do I have that? Is that, you know, really what you're able to do with this data is really how can we, if I'm going to expand beyond just my core group, I'm going to have to go after these very specific psychographic groups in order for me to really win and make my business hum.
Absolutely. And if you look at, as an example, if I didn't care where the votes came from, if I've got this group here, plus or 60 rural rovers, a 427 index for Romney country, I mean, that's somebody that obviously is a very good candidate for supporting, very good voter to support that candidate. If this were a product that you're selling, you're going to have to work a lot less hard to sell somebody with a 427 index than you are to sell somebody with a 98 index that's slightly less likely. So, you know, if you look at the heat map of, you know, red is hot and blue is not, in the case of just looking at this, I'm going to have a lot more success if I am targeting people that have high levels of index. And if I just wanted to just do a sort here, and I said my goal is I want to find the best segment of the country for my index, and let's call Romney Index your product for a second. Let's leave the politics behind and just say you're marketing a product. Well, I've got a group out of 70 clusters. I've got a group that's got a 427 index, meaning they're 4.27 times more likely to spend money with me. And I've got people down here at the bottom that are literally down to a 33 index. So if I look at that, I've got to get to 50% of my overall revenue potential. If this were a product, I would only need to reach 28% of the market. And so right there, that 28% of the market is giving me 50%. So this is an example by counties. Typically, what we try to do is get closer to where we find the 20%, that's the 50%. But if you think about it, you're literally looking at people above that line that are giving you $3 for everybody below the line that's giving you a buck. And if you can do that, then they're worth three times as much money to try to acquire as a customer because they've got 3x the lifetime value, and over a large group of people, they're three times more likely to convert. But the other thing is, they're going to be easier to sell. It's going to be a lot easier to sell the Romney message to a rural rover than it is to sell the Obama message to a rural rover. By the same token, if you look at the exact opposite, it's going to be a lot easier for to sell the Obama message to an urban scramble than it is to sell the Romney message to that same cluster. So whether you're dealing with politics or you're dealing with product, you're ultimately trying to find the psychographic of people who like what you've got and find more of them out there regardless of where they are.
Well, Ben, we got to wrap this up here. How do people get in touch with you? What's your website if they want to find out more? Maybe they want to retain your services to do some analysis of their buyers list. How do they get in touch with you?
Best bet to me is to send me an email, and the email address, I'll make it an easy one, is Ben, Ben, at Texas, just like the state, Texas, dot net. And that's the email I use on webinars because everybody can remember Texas and just don't enter dot com, it's dot net. And also, you can go to our website, which is, and I will spell this, crystallytics.com, and that is KRISTALYTICS.com. And you can also reach me at ben@crystallytics.com. And make sure you spell it right. I've got all of the permutations of the misspellings, but as far as the email, you can reach me at either one of those addresses, and I'd love to chat with anybody if they think this could help them. And I definitely think that, you know, for having the fact that the election is amazingly less than a week ago, that we're able to do this level of drill down this fast is pretty exciting.
Yeah. And I will just say, you know, from a personal standpoint, we use Ben here on Planet Perry. I've used him for my own clients. And I know that Ben does work for a number of folks in Roundtable. And you know, look, this, you know, this to me, the people that understand this and are able to go from online to offline to start getting their profiles of their lists, and to then be able to then take that data and go out and do what they do online and move it offline are really the ones that start to win and win big. You know, that's not to say that you can't have an extremely successful, profitable business just by focusing online. But if you aren't taking your cluster of buyers and then using somebody like Ben to sort and sift and to really identify who your buyer is, to then go expand into other media, in my view, you are being very short-sighted and you are running the risk of your business becoming extinct quickly. So, you know, there's a reason why people spend $2 billion to get elected president. It costs $2 billion to get elected president of the United States because of this messaging and the slicing and dicing of the market. You know, I would definitely, you know, go through this again, contact Ben, get with him to do some analysis of your list of buyers, and in a year from now, you'll have a dramatically more profitable, focused business than you do now. So, Ben, on behalf of Perry and everybody, thanks for taking the time. I know it's early, but I'm glad we did this.
Absolutely. It's always good to catch up with everybody, and if there are any questions, email us as well, because we find this stuff very fascinating, and it's a marketing blueprint for everything you do, from how you manage the emails to how you manage a pay-per-click campaign by geotargeting to direct mail to even how you nurture your own in-house list to be able, you can do the same thing Obama did. You can send a different message to an email knowing what kind of person you're talking to. And I always say that, you know, there's a lot of information out there. And I go to conferences where I talk to people that are, you know, Fortune 500s and the Experians and the Census Bureau and that life. And they look at me sometimes and they say, you mean there are people out there that aren't doing segmentation? And I go to a conference of entrepreneurs, and they say, does anybody do this? And I think that that's a lesson, that's a huge lesson to listen to, that the big companies that are getting bigger, sometimes at small businesses' expense, are using this, just like Obama did, to be able to take that soft, uncommitted side and win it over. And what I want to be able to do is empower an entrepreneur to do the same thing, and we do that. So we'll close on that note. Matthew, always a pleasure to chat with you, and look forward to talking to folks more about this.
All right, everybody. Have a great day and stay salty. See you, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.